Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
It is certainly true that over the course of time, men and women have accomplished a great number of things in this world that have benefited us and have improved the quality of our life. And we value and we respect many of those accomplishments. Accomplishments that have been made over the years. But if we want to know and we want to understand what life is all about, why we are here, where we are going after this life, then we need to look beyond the wisdom of man. Because man looks for answers within himself, within his ability to reason. And we know that we are all limited in our capacity to figure out and to explain these things, things that we really don't understand, because these things are eternal and they are beyond our ability to comprehend. So, if we want answers, if we want answers to these questions, then we need to go somewhere else. We have to go somewhere else. We need to go to the Word of God. We need to go to the Bible. Because it is in the Bible that the God of the universe has revealed this truth to us. But to many people who do not believe that this is even the Word of God, who don't believe that this is the truth, His Word appears to them to be foolishness. So it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the preaching of the cross of Christ is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is the power of God to save us, the power to deliver us from our sin and from the authority of the enemy who had us in his grasp, power to remove his hold on us and to place us in the kingdom of the Son of God forever. And even though we hear these words, and many of us have heard these words over and over again many times, still, we can't really understand these words unless the Lord opens our eyes to this truth. And as we have been looking at a story that is found in John chapter 4, that is what we have been observing. We have been seeing how the Lord is opening the eyes of a woman by a well in the region of Samaria, opening her eyes to the truth concerning Himself, helping her to understand life, helping her to understand her life and her need of a Savior. When this woman left her home in the village of Sychar late that morning, a village about a half a mile from that well, she had no idea that Jesus would be waiting for her there. She had no idea that He had come there specifically to speak to her. It says in John chapter 10, He is the good shepherd, the one who seeks and who saves that which was lost. So Jesus traveled to that well, seeking her, just like He seeks each one of us. But it must have been a shock to her to find Him there. Must have even been more of a surprise when He spoke to her, because Jewish men at that time did not speak to women in public, especially Samaritan women, since the Jews and the Samaritans were bitter enemies. And she must have been even more amazed when Jesus asked her to draw water for him from that well, because the Jews would not even use the same eating utensils that had been used by a Samaritan. But he had no way to get water. The well was deep, and he had no bucket. He had no water pot. So Jesus used those circumstances to point this woman to another kind of water, to spiritual water. Spiritual water that he could give to her. Living water, he called it. Eternal life. The promise of eternal life that he freely gives to those who come to him for salvation. And this woman did not understand what he was talking about, did she? She didn't understand what he had to give to her, but she knew. She wanted that fountain of living water. She knew that she wanted it to spring up within her so that she would never thirst again. And who wouldn't want that? But in order to receive that living water, in order to receive eternal life, there were two things that she needed to face. Two things that she needed to understand. She needed to face her sin, and she needed to face her Savior. And though this was the first time that Jesus had met this woman, amazingly, he tells her life story in such a way that only God could tell it. He knows all about her. He knows all about us. Nothing is hidden from his sight. As the light of his gaze penetrates deep within our soul, deep within our heart. So he said to her in verse 16 of John chapter 4, he commanded her and told her to go back to her village and to call her husband, phoneo in Greek, to invite him to come to hear these things. And then for both of them to come back to the well where Jesus would be waiting for them. The woman answered him. She said, I have no husband. Which was technically true. She had no legal husband. She was not married at that moment in time. So Jesus said to her, you have well said as far as you went with your answer. You've told the truth when you said, I have no husband. But Jesus also saw that what her words failed to express. He saw the whole truth. He finished the story for her. And he said to her, you have had 5 husbands. And the one that you now have, the one with whom you are living, he is not your husband at all. This you have said truly. Aletheis. Accurately. Remember, Jesus knows all things. John chapter 6, we're told that from the beginning of his ministry, he knew who it was who would betray him. John chapter 10, it says he knows his sheep, he knows those who belong to him. John chapter 11, where though he was miles away, he knew that his friend Lazarus had died. John chapter 13, despite the claim of Peter, who said that he would lay down his life for Jesus, Jesus told him that on that very night, no less than 3 times, Peter would deny that he even knew Jesus. He knows all things. Things that can only be known by God. Something that perhaps this woman was beginning to understand. Because Samaritans did not accept any prophet, anyone who claimed to speak for God, except Moses, and the one spoken of in Deuteronomy chapter 18, the one who was to come, the one the Samaritans called Tehab, the one who would come after Moses, the one who would restore all things, their name for the Messiah. Could this man at the well be him? So the woman said to Jesus, "Sir, I perceive, theoreo, I am beginning to see that you are a prophet and not just a man of little interest to her, not just a Jew whom she did not trust, not just a rabbi who perhaps she did not like, but a prophet, a prophetes in Greek, one who speaks for God." Because she reasoned, no one could know what this man knows without divine insight. A prophet, prophet of God, not only correctly explained the word of God, he not only foretold the future events, but the prophet had divine insight into the things around him, into the lives of people. And this woman believed that Jesus had that kind of insight. So, what did she do? Well, she attempted to move the conversation to a discussion of religion. Perhaps with a sincere desire to understand where it is she should worship, to get right with God, to receive forgiveness for her sins, or perhaps in her shame, she wanted to talk about religion as a diversion to avoid any further discussion of the burden of her guilt because of her own sinful life. So she said to Jesus, "Our fathers, our forefathers, our spiritual fathers worshipped in this mountain." That is Mount Gerizim. That wasn't too far from the well. You could see it in the distance. Genesis chapter 12, we're told that Abraham built an altar to the Lord near that place. Genesis chapter 33, we're told that Jacob also built an altar there. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, we are told that Moses told the Levitical priests that when they crossed the river Jordan and they entered the promised land, they were to stand on Mount Gerizim and they were to bless the people. No wonder the Samaritans worshipped there. But, she said in verse 20, "You people, you Jews in Judea, you say that Jerusalem, 20 miles away from here, is the place where men ought to worship." They in Greek. Where they must worship, and they can worship in no other place. "We worship here. You worship there. So which is it? Who's right?" She wanted to know where to go to church. She wanted religion, but she didn't need religion. She needed Christ. It was not a question of where she should go, but it was a question of to whom she should go. So Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me," pistuo in Greek, "put your faith in me. Put your trust in me. Put your confidence in me. Believe what I have to say to you. Let go of your misconceptions and your misunderstandings. for an hour. Hora, a moment of time is coming. Erkomai, it is about to arrive and it is about to fall on you. When neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. The temple of the Samaritans on Mount Gerizim was destroyed by the Jews in 129 BC. The temple in Jerusalem would be destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. And not only would thousands of Jews be slaughtered in Jerusalem, but the Romans would also slaughter thousands of Samaritans on Mount Gerizim. So the issue of location would no longer be an issue because neither location would remain. You worship that which you do not know, Jesus said to her. The Samaritans only accepted the first five books of the Bible as scripture, as the word of God, and they rejected the rest of the Old Testament. Some of their theology was mixed with tradition and with the remnants of the influence of the pagan culture that was still among them. So like so many people today, they were confused. They lacked the right information, though God had revealed that information in His Word. But they didn't know. They didn't understand the truth. But we, Jesus says, we who are of a Jewish background, we worship that which we know. That which God has revealed in His Word. For salvation, soteria, deliverance, is from the Jews. God has chosen to bring salvation to the world through them. Through the seed of Abraham, through the tribe of Judah, through the family of David, in the city of Bethlehem. There, the Savior has come. And through Him has come the fulfillment of all that God has promised in His Word. All of our good intentions, all of our opinions, will not bring us to the truth. Only Christ can bring us there. So, He said, be aware of this. An hour is coming. And now is here. Since I have come to this earth to give my life for you. So if you will come to me for salvation, then you will become one of the true worshipers of God. Alethinos. The real worshipers. The genuine worshipers. Those who worship from the heart. They shall worship the Father, Jesus said. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven. They shall worship Him in spirit. Pneuma. With the breath. With the life of God that is within them. Worshiping from the depths of our soul, in honesty and in purity, in the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, as we yield to Him with a heart that is right before Him. And Jesus said, you shall worship in truth. Aletha. According to what is right. According to what is found in the Word of God. You need both. You need spirit You need a heart that is right, but you need to do it according to the truth of the Word of God as our praises rise up to His throne, knowing Him, loving Him, proclaiming Him, living for Him. For such people, the Lord says, Theotos in Greek, these are the kind of people that the Father seeks. Zeteo. These are the people that He searches for. These are the people that He keeps trying to find. Remember the verse, 2 Chronicles 16:9? It says, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. Those are the kind of people that God is looking for. Those are the kind of people He wants to be His worshipers. Proskuneo. Those who will bow down before Him. To kiss His hand. To kiss His feet. With worship that is acceptable to Him. With worship that is worthy of Him. Why were we saved? We were saved to glorify Him. We have been saved to become His worshipers. To worship Him, it says in Psalm 96, in the beauty of holiness and in fear and in reverence. That is to be our way of life as those who belong to Him. Worshipping before our Lord, focused on Him, steadfastly fixed on Him in all things, living in His very presence. And if these things sound somewhat unusual to us, then perhaps it is because we are a little like that woman at the well. We have our own ideas concerning God instead of what He has revealed to us of Himself in His Word. And if we're not truly worshiping Him, well then what? We're not kissing His feet. In Job 31:27, it says that we are kissing our own hand. We're kissing our own hand in reverence to something other than God. He says we're blowing a kiss to the sun, to the moon, to something other than God. Our God is spirit, Jesus says in verse 24. That is His nature. He can't be confined to any place. He can't be confined anywhere. But He can be worshipped everywhere. But the problem is we are unable to gain access to Him because we're told He dwells in unapproachable light. We can't approach Him unless we come to Him according to the way that He has given us. Unless we come to Him through Christ and through Him alone. And so those who worship Him, Jesus says, must worship Him according to who He is, not according to our ideas about Him. We must worship Him, He says, in spirit, with all our heart, and in truth, according to the truth of the Word of God. And the woman at the well may have been a bit overwhelmed by what Jesus said. Perhaps we're a bit overwhelmed by what He said. Or maybe she was still confused. So she said to Him in verse 25, I know, oida, this much I'm sure of, that Messiah is coming. He will come to this earth. He was called the Christ, the Anointed One. Well, she knew that. And when that one comes, then He will declare, an angelo. He will make known and explain to us all things, even the things that we don't fully understand right now. He's going to straighten out everything. And then, in a monumental statement made to this Samaritan woman in the middle of nowhere by a well near Sychar, Jesus settled the question of who he is. In verse 26, he said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Though there is no he in the Greek in that verse. Jesus said, "Ego, ami, I am. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God who spoke to Moses from the midst of the burning bush. I am Tehel. I am the Messiah. I am the Christ." At that well, on that day, this sinful woman came face to face with God and to a command that was given to her and that is given to all of us, to come to him for forgiveness, to come to him for salvation, to come to him for eternal life, to kiss the Son of God, to him, embrace him as our own end, to worship at his feet forever. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.